Good morning. If we have not met, uh-oh, my battery's low. I mean, my battery's low. The remote's battery is low also. There we go. If we have not met, I'm Audrey, and I am a service leader here. And as part of my responsibilities in that role, I do this from time to time. We are continuing with our Taboo Topics series, and if you've ever wondered why there's an I can answer there's two questions here. If you've ever wondered why there's an elephant in the room, is because our Taboo Topics series is talking about the things in the church that are like the elephant in the room, and we've covered a number of topics like that. And because this is the sequel to the Taboo Topics, he's wearing a helmet, and I don't nerd out on these things. I'm told it's like Star Wars, a Star Wars thing. So because it's a sequel, you'll have to find somebody nerdier than me to fully explain that. But we're on round two. To get started, we're going to start nice and soft and easy. And this is going to get more difficult, the topic, not listening to me. This is going to get more difficult as we go. And we're going to start nice and light and easy with some fun pictures. All right, so on first glance, this looks like a fire-breathing golden retriever. And I don't know if a fire-breathing golden retriever would be fantastic or the worst. The worst, maybe. And yeah, and actually, like if you look beyond the first glance, this is not actually a fire-breathing golden retriever. It's just the angle of the camera. It's hilarious nonetheless. These are going to progress though. We have Siamese giraffes, right? Almost. They're not, it's just the angle of the camera. Again, that's kind of what it looks like on first glance. If you look closely, you might be able to see like there's more than four legs there. It just happens to be the angle. This last one, though, when I found it on the internet, I have to be honest, I didn't laugh. My brain was like, how is that happening? And I almost like felt a brick in my stomach. Like, I can't explain this, and I'm uncomfortable with it. And I could not figure out. Okay, so obviously there's it looks like there's an adult man holding an adult man. But then you look at the face and no, he's carrying a kid that doesn't have a head. I don't know. If you look very closely, I had to study this way longer than I want to admit. If you look at the profile, you can see where the toddler's nose ends and the man's continues, and they're just like this. Yeah, this one is definitely gives you more cause for pause. Yeah. So we're going to kind of revisit some of these visuals as we go along. But a quick review of our Taboo Topics series. In these, at time to time, you will hear my opinion. You are absolutely welcome and welcome to disagree with my take. We're going to talk about that. That's kind of the whole gig of Taboo Topics is we're going to be people who talk about hard things. So if we disagree, fantastic. Let's chat about that. We're going to do so with grace. Try to assume the best of me. I would really appreciate that. And other topics that we have covered so far in this set of Taboo Topics were giving. Then we talked about women in the church, men in the church, and today we're talking about uncomfortable passages. And like I said, we're going to start out pretty easy, and it's going to get more difficult as we go. The first round actually won't be uncomfortable at all. We will get there. So in preparation for this, I went to the internet for research because what's the first step other than a Google search? And then Google led me to places that I do not recommend for research. If you are looking for answers on some things, I almost never recommend Reddit. But this was a really great place for this kind of research because I wanted to know. So what is in the Bible that people are struggling with? What do people find uncomfortable? And out of that very, very scientific research, I was able to put uncomfortable passages into about four different categories. Oh, before we do though, I got out of order. We're going to talk about scripture today, so it makes sense to go to scripture about what scripture says. So some things that you might have built your own understanding and foundation of scripture on might be some of these verses. We know that all scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, that man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work. We look in Romans and we hear that whatever was written in former days was written for our instruction, that through endurance and through the encouragement of scriptures, we might have hope. And then Psalms, of course, puts a bit more of a poetic spin on it. Your word is a lamp to my feet, a light to my path. So we know that scripture is good for teaching, correction, direction. But what makes it uncomfortable? Category one, weird. Just generally weird. This is the warm-up round, okay? These are the things that might give you cause for pause, like a fire-breathing golden retriever, okay? Okay, the one in Mark, this is actually the first one that I found on the Reddits. And a young man followed him with nothing but a linen cloth about his body, and they seized him. But he left the linen cloth and ran away naked. And this is from Mark. And if you've ever gotten into realty, you'll hear location, location, location. And when you're in the Bible, context, context, context. So even if you read all of Mark 14 or all of Mark, this is a weird detail. Like, wait, I thought that we just said that scripture is for teaching and correction and guidance. But this detail, that he ran away naked? How in the world does that fit? Like I said, some things will be uncomfortable. So this, even in the context, this is from a passage where of Jesus' arrest. And if we were the original people to hear this story, chances are we would know who this was and we would all go, yeah, that guy. Even so, I don't quite get it. Some people on the internet think that, some biblical scholars think that this could have been Mark saying, I was actually there, in a nonchalant way, which also makes this even funnier. I don't know. So in the category of weird, I don't quite understand why this detail is in here. And at the end of the day, it doesn't change my understanding of the gospel. It's just kind of a weird oddity there. And then if we're talking about weird, Song of Solomon? Behold, you are beautiful, my love. Behold, you are beautiful. Buckle up. Your eyes are doves behind your veil. Your hair is like a flock of goats leaping down the slopes of Gilead. I don't think that's how they're defining Riz these days. So again, with 2,000 years of context and cultural differences, maybe this would sit differently with me. And I know that Song of Solomon is meant to be more poetry and artistic take. It's kind of just meh, odd on the surface. So that is our first category of weird. Why is it uncomfortable? We just don't quite get it. They seem like odd details. But we move on. Category number two. So that was our warm-up. Category number two is where it really starts to get real. Category two is passages that seem mean. And by mean, I mean things that have to do with warfare or violence. And we just came out of Judges, so we know some things about violent passages of the Bible. And in general, for this topic, I tried to stay away from the Exodus, Leviticus, Deuteronomy, Judges, because we know that there's some really tough stuff in there. And they're kind of the ones once we get to the genealogy, you kind of just skip over, like, that's fine, we'll just move forward. But the passage that I picked for this mean category, according to the internet, not just Reddit, but according to the internet, is one of the most, if not the most, widely debated passage in the Bible because it sounds so heinous. So here we're in Deuteronomy. In the cities of these peoples that the Lord your God is giving you an inheritance, you shall save alive nothing that breathes, but you shall devote them to complete destruction. The Hittites and the Amorites, the Canaanites and the Perizzites, the Hivites and the Jebusites, as the Lord your God has commanded. So what's uncomfortable about this? That God has commanded you to leave alive nothing. That is quite a commandment. And I think that even if your picture of God is not smiling Jesus, holding a lamb, it's still hard to hold the fact that God is loving and he wants all of us. And this was his commandment. That seems weird to hold at the same time. perhaps uncomfortable because our lens doesn't see what God was actually working to achieve. Our lens is just that, about as sophisticated as these glasses on my face. And we know that God's ways are better than ours, but there's still a huge gap in between there. But also, when we're talking about context, if you read one verse further, it continues that they may not teach you to do according to their abominable practices that they have done for their gods. And so you sin against the Lord your God. And this helps. It helps, but that is still such a tough commandment to understand that God had made. All right, we're now into the actual tough stuff. Category three. On the back end of this, if you think of a better title for this category, let me know. I went with not PC, not politically correct. And these are passages that, on first glance, are a bit more complicated. You remember the last picture of the guy holding a toddler that kind of looked like he was holding a guy? And we had to work a little harder to quite get that picture. If we could categorize not PC in a PC in a picture, stuff that takes us harder to decipher, this is it. These are the ones, the passages that we look at, and we really have to stop and pause. In 1 Peter, we read, "Servants, be subject to your masters with all respect, not only to the good and gentle, but also to the unjust." That in and of itself is, okay, so God says that even when somebody is unjustly cruel to me, I have to be good to him. I don't like that. But then this is the ESV, and the ESV starts with servants. The NIV starts with slaves. And especially as people living in the United States in our history, that brings up some feelings. If you're starting to have that like brick in your belly feeling, that's not wrong. Anything having to do with slavery, we start dialing back. Wait, is this saying slavery is acceptable? No, but on first inspection, if that's what you walked away with, I don't disagree, but we have to go further. We have to go further because that's not where this is going. And then also we look at Matthew 5, "But I say to you, do not resist the one who is evil. But if anyone slaps you on the right cheek, turn to him the other also. And if anyone would sue you and take your tunic, let him have your cloak as well. And if anyone forces you to go 1 mile, go with him 2 miles. And again, what's uncomfortable about this? It really seems like God's saying, what do I care about you? And that's totally our lens. But also that second one, I've personally seen that used as reason to why you should stay in a bad domestic violence situation. And that's absolutely not what God has intended here. But when we take it at that first glance and we don't dig deeper past the things that are just our lens, these are really uncomfortable. And again, context does a world of difference, but just reading the bigger chapter, we're going to have to go deeper than that. So our first three categories here, we went from pretty easy, just some weird details, all the way down to these feel uncomfortable because it's almost like God is saying, whatever's happening to you, it is fine. It's fine. But it's hard to hold that at the same time as though we know that God came to save us. It's like our hands are getting full. But then this fourth category is different than the first three. The fourth category, I labeled as harsh truths. And it could also just be the reality of free will. I'm not sure, but it is true and it feels harsh. These are the passages that the rubber really meets the road. These are the ones that if we don't pull into the light, when we decide that we're not going to be people that talk about hard things, these are the ones that can pick away at your faith in the darkness. In Romans, we see, "Therefore, God has mercy on whom he wants to have mercy, and he hardens whom he wants to harden." In John, we read, "Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only Son of God. So what's uncomfortable about these? So much. Chances are everybody in here has a friend, a family member, perhaps a child or a parent or a coworker, a neighbor, somebody that they're praying for. This might be their impossible prayer because we want so badly for this person to get to live with Jesus, to have that light in their path, to experience the goodness of what living with Jesus is like. But at the same time, there's this harsh reality that there's an eternity. And as much as we want them to experience the life with Jesus, we're worried about their souls. Where will they spend eternity? Because we want better for them. And at the end of the day, the reality is God isn't saving everyone. These are the things that can shake our faith when we leave them in the dark. Because how do you reconcile my good and loving God, who also allows us to choose, and as a result, we get our choice? And I added on Romans 3, because even if that first scenario doesn't get you, Romans 3 says, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." And this is the harsh reminder that even on your best day, you fall short. And I definitely recommend that you go read the verse that comes after that. But there is something so finite of remembering that even at my very best, when I'm doing all the things, because I know I'm not the only performance-based Christian in the room, when I'm doing all the things, it secures nothing for me aside from my choice in Christ. But I cannot on my own ever be good enough. And I don't know why, but that hits home every single time. And it's also the best part, that there's nothing that I can do, but also there's nothing I can do about that. But what do we do about it?
Uh-oh.
I got it. What do we do about that? I guess for this first point, this really applies better to the first three categories of weird, because those are definitely different categories of weird. We look for God. And actually, I was way further along in my faith journey than I like to admit when we added the Jesus Storybook Bible to our household. And in the very beginning, it just tells you about the Bible. And I read something in here that changed how I looked at the Bible. Again, I was way further in my faith journey than I'd like to admit. It says, no, the Bible isn't a book of rules or a book of heroes. The Bible is most of all a story, capital S on story. It's an adventure story about a young hero who comes from a far country to win back his lost treasure. It's a love story about a brave prince who leaves his palace, his throne, everything to rescue the one he loves. It's like the most wonderful of fairy tales that has come true in real life. You see, the best thing about this story is it's true. There are lots of stories in the Bible, but all the stories are telling one big story. The story of how God loves his children and comes to rescue them. It takes the whole Bible to tell this story. And at the center of the story, there is a baby. Every story in the Bible whispers his name. He is like a missing piece in a puzzle, the piece that makes all the other pieces fit together. And suddenly you can see a beautiful picture. And this sat for me because, especially coming after Judges, I realized I had been looking at the Bible to see me. And no wonder I was constantly lost. But when I turned and I was able to, and sometimes it's hard, but look for God in the story, especially like in a passage like Judges, where sometimes you go chapters without mention of God, but he is still there. And the assurance, the perspective shift that God is in each story, I just have to look for him, that really changed things. It reminds me of, if you're not using the Bible Project resources, you are missing out. But there was one, I think they were tackling parables, and in the podcast, there's this one guy who's kind of like the teacher, this other guy who's more like the every person, that's me, and he always says the things that I'm wondering that I would really like to ask this teacher, and then he says it. I'm like, oh, thank you, awesome, that's the question I needed to know about. And so they were talking one day about parables, and they said the Bible is like a book of riddles. What could that mean? Ironic, right? That the Bible is a book of riddles. And in fact, Jesus kind of said this. So in Matthew 13, definitely recommend you go look at the whole thing today. Jesus is actually asked, why do you speak to them in parables? And Jesus answers way more than this. But Jesus answers, this is why I speak to them in parables. Because seeing, they do not see. And hearing, they do not hear. Nor do they understand. And this is where he explains having ears to hear. And so when you're out in the wild and you come across these uncomfortable passages, anything from weird to some harsh truths, you might have to work to have the ears to hear. But keep in mind that if at first glance you don't hear all the way, go back. Do it again. But then also, do it together. I don't know how, maybe every week somebody up here says, take it to your small group. Do it together. God tells us that we should be doing this together. So do it together. When you go to small groups, say, oh man, I really came across this. Could somebody help me dive into it? Or come to Pester the Pastor. Not because our pastor knows everything. He did actually study the Bible at a college level, which helps. But it's a place where we can talk about, yeah, I struggle with this aspect too, or I don't quite get this, or I got from this resource that it could be this. Let's do it together. You can text a service leader. You can text a pastor. You send smoke signals. Do it together, though, but let's bring it out into the light. And we also have great resources. Don't go to Reddit. We have Right Now Media, and if you do not have a Right Now Media account, please find me afterward. Right Now Media is a fantastic resource. Be discerning in your resources, which is also a good pair with Do It Together, because a good friend is going to tell you that Reddit is an incredible source, meaning not credible, not incredible. But then we get back to that fourth category of weird, the harsh truth one, because that's the one that really rocks the boat. And for that one, I want to send you back to the Great Commission, because it is a harsh truth that I don't get to control all the things. I wish I did. Maybe I don't. God is actually the only one who saves, which is both terrifying and the best part. But when we actually look at the Great Commission, this is what we're told. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. So what do we do with that? We take the next one step, knowing that we don't get to see the entire picture. God's got the entire picture. He asks us to do that one next step. But hear me out. I know how stinking hard that's going to be. When you realize I'm the only believer in my family, or when you realize, yeah, I've talked to my dad about the gospel and he doesn't get it, when you realize I think I did all the right things with my kids and I don't think that they're on the same page with the gospel, it's still extraordinarily hard to take that one next step. But that's what God's asking you to do. Take that one step. But also, if you didn't hear me before, take it to your small group. Don't do it alone. Let people around you know, I'm struggling with this. Because we have decided that we are going to be people who talk about the hard things. This is a hard thing. So get others involved to do this with you. Because the next step, even if it's one step, that's a hard step. Would you pray with me? God, we thank you so much for your word, even when it's weird, uncomfortable, difficult. We know that you gave that to us as a gift, not as a burden. Help us to use it to see you. Help us to use it to make that next one step, as terrifying, as difficult as that one step might be, that we would take that one step toward obedience with you. And that when we get hung up, because as we will, that we'll bring it to you first. After that, we get help, because that's what helps pull this out of the darkness. We pull it into the light. And God, we know that you are the light. So we pull it out and we talk about it. I say, these are the things that I'm struggling with. Help me make the next step. And chances are, Lord, you've prepared that for us. And nobody is going to be surprised that we're struggling with a thing, that our faith might seem a little shaky at times because we read about some of the harsh truths, which on the backside are the best part, but they're also the worst part. So God, would you direct us as we worship you, and we use this as we go. It's in your name that we pray. Amen.